Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Mike Vrabel is up at the podium. Hopefully no more F-bombs today. So we'll send it over to Mike Vrabel now.
Always. And that's the most important thing, that every day we come to work, that we focus on winning and doing more of the things that's going to help us win and less of the ones that, you know, affect the game in a negative way. So, Teresa, what you got?
How is Will? Do you hope that he can practice today?
Probably won't be out there today. Again, we'll have structures, practice similar to, you know, where we had, you know, some guys out there going with some speed and trying to get some special teams. We've got some moving parts there. We have some young guys that, you know, are playing special teams and that need some drill work, some speed work there. And we'll have the ability to do that. Also get the quarterbacks, you know, some live throws and some speed throws. And then, you know, we'll finish off at a different pace with some other guys that kind of, you know, at this point in the season, you know, don't maybe need all that work right now.
Coach, you mentioned yesterday the goal, try to finish the year the best way you can on Sunday. What are some specific things you're doing this week, maybe something different you're doing this week to try to achieve that goal?
Well, I don't know if you'd start doing a whole lot of things that are different. I mean, you try to prepare, you try to put a plan in. That the players by the end of the week will have confidence in and that have answers for things that come up and what they may do in each situation, whether that's first and second down, you know, third down as we work our way through. Today's focusing on first and second down and knowing who they are, their personnel, and, you know, what our plan is and how we can execute it. And then you work your way through the week, and if things you know, you don't feel good about things, and then you, you know, you try to fix them by that point in time, then you probably just take it out. You know, continue to stress the fundamentals, the details, and how critical that is to a game plan.
What can a pass blocker do if maybe he's outmatched a little bit on skill set or a lot? What can he do on determination and
pride? Well, certainly guts and hustle can go a long way. You know, it's like pitching. You know, I watch a lot of guys pitch. You know, Carter plays baseball. So I always try to equate some of that stuff that I see, whether that's a pass rusher or a DB, a wide receiver, or in your question, an offensive lineman, is, you know, what different pitch can you throw? And you can't get guys out throwing 86 anymore. So you're going to have to, you know, be able to throw different pitches. And, you know, if a pass rusher has some speed to power, or they, you know, use a certain move, a freeze move, a long arm, whatever that may be, you know, you have to be able to change things up. And I think that's always a way when you're in, you know, by knowing your opponent and knowing what they do and how you can kind of, you know, whether you short set them, you know, flash hands, just all the different techniques that we talk about.
How do you think you guys have done it, kind of?
Well, none of us have. None of us, you know, starting with me. You know, you can ask me how we've done. None of us have done well enough throughout the season, and that's why we continue to practice and continue to work. You know, I think sometimes in the game, you know, you practice and you have to be able to see that in live reps and have that translate. That's why that's so critical to having those small victories and improvement that we talked about yesterday, and developing players and developing units. It's a much different pace in practice. It's a different player doing it in practice that you're going against. So, you know, you have to be able to do some of those things. That has to translate to the game. And once you can do that, then you can start to understand, okay, this is, you know, how I have to approach it. This is the technique I need to use. This is the change-up off of that.
Obviously, talking about with the change-ups, are they something that you give the guys a roadmap for? If they do this, you do that? Or is it kind of up to the individual?
No, I mean, that's what we do every day, is trying to find answers and put yourself in a position of, you know, coaching. Put yourself in how, if I had to do that job, how would I go about doing it? You know, there's some jobs out there that I haven't done personally. And a lot of the coaches haven't either. That's not to say that, you know, they don't know. But you study and you watch and you know, you have to be able to say, okay, if this is what they're doing, here are answers, here are tools in a toolbox. You know, great resources is guys around the league. You know, guys around the league. That's why we try to comb through, you know, all that tape between, you know, Stretch and I to try to find examples of those, you know, just to validate the things that we're talking about or that were, you know, maybe they're new ideas.
What have you seen from Otis Reese in his little trial at inside linebacker here lately?
Yeah, see some speed, see some violence and, you know, improvement. And so, and I know, you know, we talked about the play, you know, and tracking it the other day, and he, you know, he was much, you know, very active in the plays and the snaps that he had, and, you know, hopefully continue to add to that and make sure that he's, you know, improving on special teams too. It's a critical role for him. But I would say that Otis's attitude, his willingness, and, you know, certainly his effort has been good.
You got an extended work, I guess, from Kayvon Wallace too recently. How's he kind of fit in to the defense?
Good. And he, you know, he wanted to really worked hard to get back last week, you know, after missing the week. And, you know, we got Kayvon in towards the back half of the season. He came in, studied hard, and, you know, took advantage of his opportunity. You know, talked about the play that he made just on sheer effort in Miami that led to, you know, us stopping them short of the goal line and then them turning the ball over on the very next play. So saw that last week against Dallas and Miami as well. You know, Miami made a great stop and the ball was almost over the goal line. That's why we talk about every inch matters. And Dallas turned the ball over the very next play. So that was something that Kayvon that stood out for me and he'll have to, you know, continue to progress and work, but you know, I've liked, you know, the way that he's come in and taken advantage of his opportunity and played for us.
Mike, when quarterbacks get pressured or hit like you guys have had a lot this year, do you see it, you know, a level of expectation coming in for quarterbacks to almost expect to be pressured, and does that affect them if that is the case?
I mean, I think playing the position, I would imagine, you know, there's got to be a level of you know, understanding, you know, I mean, you have to have some courage to be able to sit into the pocket. You also have to be, you know, able to slide away and do their part. Sometimes there's, you know, nothing that they can, you know, reasonably do. But then there's also times where, you know, guys, you know, quarterbacks can help some of that, just like in a running game. You know, there's times where you can't block them all and guys make people miss or break tackles, and you know, that's how it goes, and that's what it looks like, you know. And sometimes you get them blocked and they're untouched for 8 or 10 yards, and that's great too.
You think Harold's the same guy Harold was before the ACL now?
I just really like where Harold's at, just from you know, maturity and his, you know, consistency, his daily approach, you know. So plays extremely hard. He does a lot of different things for us. You know, I think that he's, you know, he's really factored, and I think starting to feel better, cutting it loose, and you know, happy for whatever, you know, personal success that he has, or, you know, making a bunch of plays and helping us out.
The patience you have to show, waiting, like knowing it's probably going to get back to normal, but there's got to be some doubt, like while you're waiting.
Well, I think that would be for the individual. You know, I don't, you know, I never had a, you know, a knee surgery or an ACL. Yeah, I mean, you're always, you know, coaching and talking through and, you know, showing them that you can, like, here's this movement, you know. And so I think that he's, you know, like I said, just been able to cut it loose and get going. And again, you know, him and Crow have worked extremely hard, and we see him always working and, you know, focusing on things and having different change-ups that he can use to help him do his job.
Mike, you mentioned Mike,
that's okay.
Mike, you mentioned
he just was a little louder than this.
Hey, we gotta get it in. Mike, you mentioned a couple weeks ago about not relishing being a spoiler. What does that mean to you, and how do you relate that to your team?
Well, no, I mean, we just we want to finish strong. You know, we can finish this thing the right way. You know, we can finish it, you know, with a lot of class, and we can also, you know, get a huge win, and also, you know, potentially, you know, I think it would just be critical to get a home win here to finish the season in the division against a team that, you know, kept us from the playoffs last year. So that's what we're trying to do. Our guys are trying to get ready, starting that process here this morning, you know, and that'll carry all the way up until the game.
Have been a lot about getting some of these younger guys this trial period, giving them opportunities in games. What does Kyle Phillips need to do to be one of those guys getting that opportunity, or is there something he can do at this point?
You only have so much room for, you know, you can look at the reasons why Kyle wasn't. Kyle, you know, you got only so many room for a slot receiver that doesn't catch punts, and that's where we went to. So I'm hopeful that Kyle will be in there this week and will help us, but, you know, that's just once you start looking at the job that they do on game day and, you know, how many snaps. You know, Kyle hasn't done anything, you know, from a receiver. You know, I mean, he helped us in the 2-minute and third down. It's just how each week, how do you get the guys that, you know, you need to cover kicks and punts? And I mean, if we kick touchbacks every time, me and all of us could cover the kickoff, and we don't. So we have to have guys that we feel like can cover the kick, and, you know, that's what it is.
You've kept six some weeks in the past and five other weeks. Is that matchup based, kind of whether or not you have that sixth receiver up?
Well, it was when Colton was, you know, at times, you know, turned himself into a, you know, above average. I'm not going to say great, but a good. I mean, he was a starting gunner for us. You know, made some plays in that regard. So, those are things that you factor in. How many guys are you going to take for special teams, and how many? You know, what role is a guy going to have? On offense or defense, how many positions, you know, where do you feel like there's a backup of, you know, you got a pair and a spare, and if this guy goes down, then who's the next person in a game? Where do you move this guy? Those are all just things that factor into it.
I want to clarify to you, you said there briefly, he hasn't done anything from the receiving.
I meant negatively. It wasn't, you know, I mean, it was just we changed punt returners. And so when that happened, you know, then those are part of the decisions of who's going to the game. But my point is when Kyle played and, you know, did a nice job on, you know, 2-minute, and the quarterback found him and made some good catches for us. And, you know, based on, you know, different personnels and what we're asking those guys to do, Nick Westbrook was just doing some of those jobs and, you know, 11 personnel, just different reasons as we come, you know, so hopeful that, you know, Kyle will get another opportunity to help us this week.
When it comes to Treylon Burks and just the continued development of him, how hard is it, Coach, you played the game, to continue that momentum of your own game if you are not on the field? Like, how much does that actually play into it in terms of building game after game? And obviously he's not been able to do that.
Well, he has the last couple weeks, you know. So, again, that's all we can focus on, is we're hopeful to have him this week and continue to help us, and, you know, confident that, you know, the play that he didn't come down with last week, that he'll come down with this week and hopefully more. You know, I think just consistency, you know. You see him go in there and make a really nice block on a safety, and we gained a bunch of yards, and then – you know, the safety's not going to just stand in there and let him hit him. So he kind of spins and misses him, and, you know, so he's in the hole. So, but I think to your question, I think it is very important to be able to string those chances together. It's very hard at this point in the season, you know, to replicate a whole lot of speed and some of that stuff. And so, you know, the game action is critical, and then the game within the game, and how do you respond, you know, what are they doing? What are the adjustments? What do you have to do better the next series? Or if you get the same look, you know, not making the same mistake twice or having an idea of a coverage and all those different things.
Mike, there's been a lot of, I guess, stuff on social media, reports from outside that say, you know, talk about your relationship with Rand, your, you know, perceived unhappiness or whatever here. Do you have to address those types of things with the players? Because most players are on social media and whatnot today.
No, I don't, because, again, if we believed everything that was on social media, you know, it'd be Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and there's no Tooth Fairy and all that. So I really have never responded to any of those, and we're not going to start now. I know where we're at as an organization. I'm excited to build this thing and to fix this thing and get it to where we want it to be, to win championships with Ran and Chad and A-Rob and a coaching staff and everybody. I mean, that's what our goal is. So, but no, the social media and where that is, and I can't focus on that. Of course I want to be here. Be here as long as we can win and long as we can, you know, do this thing. And it's been great, but it also has been, you know, just frustrating this year. Nobody wants to be where we're at. You know, you feel, you know, for the players, you know, having been in that situation, those guys are out there selling out, and yeah, you feel for them when you look out there on the field and we're not winning, or it's pretty obvious. But you know, the one thing that, you know, allows me to at least sleep at night is, you know, when the games, you know, we had a clunker in Jacksonville and in Houston, and we're out there, you know, fighting, not letting them run through us, you know, for 40, 50 yards and all that. And I know that there's no moral victories, and that's not a moral victory, but it's just a lot of times in those situations, you can just pack it up and pack it in. And, you know, so that's, you know, that was last week. You know, this week we have to be in a different situation. You know, talked about the ability to put ourselves in that competitive situation, you know, where the game has some flow to it. And, you know, you make a play, you get a turnover, right? You pin them down and you start playing complimentary. So I talked to the team again, you know, about that. And about eliminating, you know, some of the mistakes, you know, that are just, you know, that come at critical times and that, you know, make it tough to overcome. Thanks, guys.
Finally, we get a question about Mike Vrabel, the clarification of where he wants to be in the future, clarification of the relationship between he and Rand Carthon. He said, of course, I want to be here. He wants to stick around, build a championship. And I was a little bit nervous, started answering that question. And Willie, you and I were sitting here saying, with Ran.
And he said it.
And he said, with Ran, with Chad Brinker, so on and so forth. Now, does that all of a sudden exonerate all of the reporting about the relationship between Mike Vrabel and Ran Carthon? No, I don't think so. But we finally got to hear it from the horse's mouth himself. We finally heard it from Mike Vrabel. Yes, I want to be here. And really, I believed him when he said it.
It sounded authentic,
yeah.
When he said it pretty emotionally. Yes, of course I want to be here. We'll play the clip. But I thought it was a good question by Terry. Mm-hmm. And the way he worded it was important because he didn't make it about the media. You know, you don't necessarily owe it to the fans and the media to answer every question. But I think that was a legit question by Terry. It's like your players do have a pulse of what's being said, especially if you just, you know, it's not like you sit there and flip on the radio or watch his TV show or anything like that or listen to podcasts or anything. But you can if you want. But also on your feed, you're getting, if you want it, as much feedback as you want of what people are saying about your coach and these reports that come out, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Good question. And so he gave his philosophy of how he's approached it, which is basically don't address it.
Yeah.
But honestly, he wasn't really asked about it through all these weeks of struggle until today. So he did say, I want to move forward with Ran, with Chad, and fix this thing. I think that was very important. And I think on Monday we're going to have a stronger version of this.
Yes.
Right? And if I'm Amy Adams, that's really all I want to know. If from her standpoint, these are the people she wants to move forward with.
And that's a big if. Because right, Amy Adams' truck might look at it and say... It
can't be a given, right?
It probably isn't.
But I haven't had any feeling from her end, especially after just 1 year of this alignment, mm-hmm. right? Switching GMs.
Yeah.
And sort of doubling down on Mike Vrabel. I haven't heard really anything from her end that would suggest that she's ready to pull the plug on the whole thing.
I also didn't get the sense that she was ready to pull the plug on John Robinson. So I can
never count
that
out. It did sort of drop out of the sky. No question.
It did. I was not expecting that. So expect the unexpected as far as Amy Adams Strunk is concerned. When Mike Vrabel first started to answer Terry McCormick's question, and we'll continue to get into it on the other side, I was worried he was going down one path. But I'm glad that he didn't. I'm glad that he decided to ultimately address it really as close to head-on as possible. So we'll continue to get into that. We'll get into your thoughts and your takeaways from Mike Vrabel's press conference coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jonathan Hutton will join us at the top of the hour. Caroline Willie D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
A lot of, I guess, stuff on social media, reports from outside that say, you know, talk about your relationship with Rand, your, you know, perceived unhappiness or whatever here. Do you have to address those types of things with the players? Because most players are on social media and whatnot today.
No, I don't. Because, again, if we believed everything that was on social media, you know, we'd... It'd be Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, and there's no Tooth Fairy and all that. So, I really have never responded to any of those, and we're not going to start now. I know where we're at as an organization. I'm excited to build this thing and to fix this thing and get it to where we want it to be, to win championships with Ran and Chad and A-Rob and a coaching staff and everybody. I mean, that's what our goal is. So, but no, the social media and where that is, and I can't focus on that.
So you want to be here next year?
Of course I want to be here. Be here as long as we can win and long as we can, you know, do this thing. And it's been great, but it also has been, you know, just frustrating this year. Nobody wants to be where we're at. You know, you feel, you know, for the players, you know, having been in that situation, those guys are out there selling out, and yeah, you feel for them when you look out there on the field, and we're not winning, or it's pretty obvious. But you know, the one thing that, you know, allows me to at least sleep at night is, you know, when the games, you know, we had a clunker in Jacksonville and in Houston, and we're out there, you know, fighting, not letting them run through us, you know, for 40, 50 yards and all that. And I know that there's no moral victories, and that's not a moral victory, but it's just a lot of times in those situations, you can just pack it up and pack it in. And, you know, so that's, you know, that was last week. You know, this week we have to be in a different situation. You know, talked about the ability to put ourselves in that competitive situation, you know, where the game has some flow to it. And, you know, you make a play, you get a turnover, right? You pin them down and you start playing complimentary. So I talked to the team again, you know, about that and about eliminating, you know, some of the mistakes, you know, that are just, you know, that come at critical times and that, make it tough to overcome. Thanks, guys.
That was Mike Vrabel at the podium. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Visit springhillac.com. First of all, Mike, this is a children's program. You got to cool it with the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus talk. Cool it.
Yeah, Tooth Fairy, come on.
Yeah. F-bombs, Easter Bunny. Calm down with the not
the kids,
child-friendly
the kids might
references.
Be out of school, driving around. The moms.
That's
might
on
be
you,
just
Mike.
I know when I was in school, I would listen to sports radio in the library. I wasn't supposed to, but hey, you know.
That's on your hands.
Scrambling for the channel changer.
Jeez.
There, if you're the mom or the dad driving around, the youngsters in the back of the car.
As press conferences should come with a
somebody
warning.
Might have just lost a tooth and been really excited.
Goodness, the Tooth Fairy did bring you that dollar to whoever is listening. I was worried. I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit concerned listening to that response from Mike Vrabel when he said, I don't normally address these rumors. I'm not going to start now. I thought to myself, Mike, you can't afford to not address these rumors. Mike, you cannot afford to just say we're focused on Jacksonville. We're focused on getting a win on Sunday. We're past that. There is way too much smoke for you to just brush that off and act like nothing is wrong, for you to just brush that off and not at least address it. Now, he did say what he should have said. He said what he needed to say. I want to be here. I want to fix this. I want to win championships with Ran and Chad. Now, I don't think that all of a sudden makes all the reports from Jason Lacanfora, what Charles Robinson has talked about with the morning show, or what Michael Lombardi said on his podcast, I don't think that just erases those things and makes those things go away. Because what else is Mike Vrabel supposed to say? But he needed to address it, and he at least did. He said what he was supposed to say. Does he mean it? I don't know, but he said it.
It sounded like he meant it to me. And he didn't have to address it. The question was, do you address it with your team?
Yeah.
And he could have said, I choose not to address those things. He could have left it at that, which would have really started the speculation mill going. So could he have gone further? Yeah, he could have gone probably even further. He could have gone to a level of saying, and let me just say this, I don't appreciate unnamed sources, et cetera, all of these things. He could have gone that road, did not. But I will tell you that I feel a lot better about his position with these reports because it sort of reinforces what I've thought all along is when somebody starts a narrative with really nothing behind it journalistically, I don't put a lot of stock into it. And after hearing him say that, I'm reinforced with that belief myself. Now, how Amy feels, that's a different thing. But I think the most important thing I would want to know if I'm Amy Adams Strunk, and I'm going to go forward with this because this was Jared's thing, right? Jared's is like, you can't go forward with this and expect it to be better. That's his opinion. I don't think that's necessarily true, but it is true if everybody's not on the same page, right? You have to have a strong bond if you're going to go and make tough decisions to fix a team after a bad season. And you've got resources now. They don't have as much draft capital as they'd like to have, I'm sure, but they're going to have a first-round pick that's pretty high that they could wield into a little more capital if they choose, if that's how they want to go, and they have cap space. They can go spend it. They have a chance to outspend some teams. So these are big decisions. It's a rebuild, whatever they're going to label it as. It's a new era. And so if I'm going forward, if I'm Amy Armstrong and I got Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, I got to know that they're on the same page and they're committed to wanting to do it.
And Mike Vrabel at least said what he needed to say.
Yeah.
Is it the truth? I think we'll find out.
I take a person at his word. I don't think he's a liar. I don't think he's there. You know, coaches always have to protect themselves and there's things they don't want to answer. But I don't think he would just lie through his teeth and say, I want to be here. If he really doesn't want to be here?
When he said, of course I want to be here, I believed him. I wholeheartedly do believe that he wants to be here. And that was one question that we had was, do you want to see this through, Mike? It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pretty. You are going to be in an incredibly hot seat next year if or when you are retained next season. You can't go 5-12 next year and expect everything to be okay.
I think that's true. I think that is fair that if they go down if they do all the things that they choose to do, and Mike Vrabel has the quote setup, mm-hmm. right? He has been given more responsibility for the personnel decisions. It's a big offseason. And if it doesn't work well next year, then there's going to be ramifications. Now, I would say I'm not sure they could fix everything in 1 year. Now, we've seen in the NFL pretty big turnarounds.
Yeah.
Stuff happens. But
Texans.
And even with their team as bad as it's been, as flawed as their team is, if they had won a couple of close games, they still could. They're not that far from being a decent team, a mediocre team.
Yeah.
Now, that's a different thing than being a contending team. So I don't know if they can turn this into be a contending team next year, especially with a second-year quarterback. But the question is it moving? Can you have a team next year that's moving in the right direction? Mm-hmm. That's the goal for next year. And they probably need to do what they can PR-wise to set realistic expectations, too.
I think that has served the Predators incredibly well.
Yes.
But
it's easier to do when you switch the GM and the coach.
That's true. Right? That is true. But I think the expectations were set very early on with Andrew Brunette and Barry Trotz. They said, look, have some patience with us. I think that the messaging with David Poile got so stale because the messaging was constantly, we're going to make a run for the cup. We're going to make a run for the cup. And fans just felt so frustrated because the fans could see it. That's not a cup contending team. I think with the Titans, that would have served them well if the expectations were laid out a little bit more realistically. But the expectations weren't, we're going for it. We want to win the division and we want to make the playoffs. That
we don't rebuild.
We don't rebuild
in this league. That was said more than once by Mike Vrabel. But how is he gonna word what they're gonna do next year? That's a question. He doesn't have to say rebuild. I mean, he's kind of backed himself in the corner. This is we don't rebuild. But could it be anything else?
Yeah. It's a
rebuild after this year. It's a new era. Especially if you're not coming back with Derrick Henry, which that didn't come up today.
No.
But I feel like that should be the story of this game. There's no other story. Like, who cares? This game is not relevant other than this could be the last game for Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm. It could be. This would be the last time we see Derrick Henry in a Titans uniform.
That's a big story.
That's a big story. But as it comes to, as we look at next season and rebuilding the future with Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon, we as fans, I think, have a tendency. I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. Of looking at it from black and white, of Super Bowl or nothing, Super Bowl or failure. The same thing in college.
I've tried to help people with that. I'm not one of those people. I have never been one of those people, but I do get that. That is what happens.
That you are either contending team or you're not. And I think that this team is in a gray area of you say you can't fix everything in the offseason.
Okay, next year, should it be gray? To me, it should be pretty clear that they're not a contending team next year. There's no way they will be, and it's unrealistic to think that they can be.
And then
they need to define that.
And I think,
but what's gray? What's gray about it? There's nothing gray. You're not a contender.
You're not rebuilding, and you're not a contender.
They're not. They're rebuilding next year. They're rebuilding.
I think rebuilding is misconstrued as tanking. I think that there is a gray area where you don't fix everything in the offseason because I don't know if you can entirely rebuild the offensive line, rebuild the pass catching core, rebuild your entire DB room, and in one offseason. I don't think that you can do that, but I think you can get better. I think you have to get better. The Titans don't have another option. They can't not get better this offseason.
Complete agree with that, that they have to get
taking
better. But
steps
it's a rebuild.
Forward.
They may not define it, but how can they not be rebuilding? They're about to go 5-12. They need to be rebuilt.
I think in a way, honestly, every team in the NFL is rebuilding at some point?
At some point, yes.
Or you're rebuilding?
At some point, yes, but for the Titans, it's accurate now. This is the end of an era. The Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry era is going to be over on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's a rebuild.
It is
not black and white. I mean, it's not gray. It is black or white, whichever way you're going to.
They're not tanking.
It's a rebuild.
They're not tanking and they're not contenders.
No.
But you need to be better than
they're rebuilding. They're not contenders.
Whatever word you want to label it. You can be better.
If they sell that they're contenders next year, they would be selling a false hope.
They are Nimrods if you are selling that you are contenders next year. That's what got them in this situation in the first place.
You just said it with the Predators. They have gotten a new feeling that the crowds have been fantastic at the Predators games. Mm-hmm. It was packed last night. They have had very few crowds, if any. They've announced a sellout, I believe, at every game. And even on days where they've played a bunch of home games in a short period of time, where sometimes you see some patches of empty seats, it has been way better than I thought it would be. And they're in a new era that the expectations aren't that high. The Titans could get that.
It's refreshing.
That. Yes, and the Titans could push that some if they're smart about how they do this, right, and not give you false expectations about what they can be next year. It's going to be a different team that has that hopefully can plug some of the holes and start moving in the right direction. But to sit if you're going to try to sell that they should be all of a sudden back in the playoff picture and stuff next year, that's selling false hope. Let's start by fixing the offensive line and seeing what happens. Like what's happened in Houston and what's happened in Indianapolis. That's a great story. They've exceeded expectations for sure.
Yeah.
Right? So a lot of stuff can happen if things fall right. But let's just start by fixing the number one problem, which is the offensive line. That's got to be the biggest priority. Everything else hopefully can fall into place where you can be competitive.
Absolutely.
But it's a rebuild. This is a new era that starts on Monday.
But the question to me, and Mike Vrabel at least addressed what he needed to address. He said what he needed to say. I want to fix this. I want to build a championship with Rand Carthon, and I want to be here next year. I do wholeheartedly believe him when he says that he wants to be here next year. But the overlying question still remains. Are Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon still the people to get it done? Mike Vrabel said he wants to be here. I think Rand Carthon wants to be here. I believe him. Does Amy Adams Strunk believe that they're the right people in place?
She did a year ago.
She
would have to have a radically different feeling now to make a change, which she has. But Mike Vrabel, what, has two more years on his contract?
Two more years on his contract, contrary to what Michael Lombardi says.
Right. So, honestly, you would I would trade him before I fired him.
Yeah. If you have a trade
partner, if he wants to be here and I believe in him, then to me, that's the end of the story. That's it. They're going with those guys. Now, assistant coaches, all that stuff, that's a whole nother situation there.
Let's get into your thoughts on this coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jonathan Hutton will join us at the top of the hour. Caroline Willie DeMace, make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Caroline Willie DeMace, tomorrow is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. We just heard from Mike Vrabel at the podium. Terry McCormick asked Mike Vrabel to address with the locker room the rumors that are swirling around. The rumors swirling around from Jason Lacanfora and the Washington Post, Mike Lombardi, the GM Shuffle podcast, and then things that we've discussed with Jason Fitz. I know Jared has had him on his show, has talked about it. Charles Robinson with the morning show of the relationship or maybe lack thereof between Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon. Mike Vrabel said, I don't normally address those things, but I want to fix this. I want to win a championship with Ran and Chad Brinker, and I want to be here. Let's get into your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Chris, Titans and Truth is on the line with a thought on Vrabel and Rand Carthon. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Caroline, Willie, how y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, Chris.
All right, let's get to the bottom of the matter. The fact of the matter is, I mean, Vrabel can say he wants to be here, and he probably believes he wants to be here. I'm not exactly totally buying it, but, I mean, at the same time, what else is he going to say? Of course he's going to say, I want to be here. He's not going to go up in there and say, yeah, I want out. I want to get out of here. But actions speak louder than words. And, Mr. Willie, as you've been saying, this team has got to rebuild whether you want to or not. The rebuild is coming. Well, basically, it's about to be here. It could have started last year, but he kind of laughed it off, acting like he's just going to run it back. What makes you think he's not going to try to, even with Will Levis, try to bring back Henry and run it back again?
That's an important question. That's a good point.
This year's a fluke.
Because that is something that I think Amy Adams is going to have to talked to Mike Vrabel about is, look, I know you don't like the rebuild, and you know what you've got some say in the personnel decisions. But the easy part, though, Chris, to me on that front is when you're 5-12, you really don't have a choice. Running it back is not a choice, and I think he would admit that. Right now, he may want to say, "Can I get a team in position to be more competitive quicker?" Whereas maybe the better path is to look 2 or 3 years down the road. Right? Mm-hmm. So is that what you would like to see, Chris? More of a 2 or 3 year plan? Or like, how would you go about it?
I would say this, because the question I would have is, would you even trust Mike Vrabel to rebuild this team? Because he's never had to do it before. He came in with an established roster. Mm-hmm. We've seen teams like Detroit. We've seen teams like what's going on in Houston. Mm-hmm. They had to actually build from the ground up a little bit.
Yes.
And so I think what would happen is you got to rebuild. And the thing that I think Vrabel did wrong last offseason, set that expectation early that, hey, we're going to go in a different direction. You know, this may not be a one-year fix. This may take a couple of years. I ask for patience. I know this is not going to be easy. There may be some good times, but there may be some rough times. But if you give me this chance to rebuild this team, we will get to the promised land if you will allow me that chance. You set that expectation, I think more people will buy into that, because it's like, okay, he's telling us a little bit of what the plan is. I just don't know if Ray will even do that, or is he even the right guy to lead a rebuild, because he never had to do it before.
Chris, all very fair points, and appreciate your phone call. If you want to believe Mike Vrabel,
it's a good question for Monday.
Yes.
It's a good question for Monday. I mean, unless they fire Mike Vrabel on Sunday after the game, which I don't think is happening, he's going to take the podium Monday. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, Rand Carthon will be there, or whenever. It may be Tuesday.
Rand Carthon needs to take
Maybe they'll take another day and organize their thoughts, but the end of the year press conference is going to be a big one, and that's a good question for him. Is this the rebuild?
And
because I don't think you have a choice. I don't think you have a choice. Now, can you? Maybe you exceed expectations, but I think the expectation is we got to start by getting more good players.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a rebuild. This is a new era, and they may not be prepared to say what they're going to do about Derrick Henry, because that's a big question. But I don't see them bringing him back. I don't think Derrick Henry would come back for like a league minimum type of thing. That's what they need. They need to keep all of the resources available, keep flexibility, be able to make the move when the right guy is there to fill a hole, and they can't be in too much of a hurry, because the fear would be, like, I think this is Chris's fear, you overpay veterans to try to patch it up quickly, to try to speed up the rebuild, and you end up with bad contracts. That's what you want to avoid.
That's the key. And I do think there is a whole lot of value for Derrick Henry being here. I think the Titans can set their price. We want you here. I think there's a lot of value for a young quarterback to have that go-to guy, a veteran running back, to be able to kind of fall back on, especially when you're going to be rebuilding the offensive line as much as the Titans need to. But I think the Titans should have a price. And I think the Titans can go to Derrick Henry and say, this is our price. We love you. We'd love to have you back. If you would like to see what your value is on the open market, be my guest. If you're willing to take less money to go to a team that's more of a contender, that's absolutely your choice. If there's another team in the NFL that's willing to offer you more money and you would like to go where you get the most money, by all means, go to that team. But this is our price. We'd love to have you. Go explore the open market. See where your value is. I probably think the Titans would value Derrick Henry more than 31 other teams in the NFL, because he's an aging running back. He's not what he used to be. He's not what he was in 2019 and 2020, and that is undeniable. I think there's value to Derrick Henry coming back here, but I'm not willing to spend $16 million on Derrick Henry next season.
That's going to be the key, is how does Derrick Henry feel about it? I agree. He has value. I would bring him back if he can play at the right price, but that's going to be the question. Knowing what the running back market is.
And you bring up, you know, possibly, you know, doing everything that they can to win next year. Ben Texan, with a similar sentiment, said, "I'm worried about Vrabel and Rancarthon making moves that will try to get us to be as good as possible next year instead of 2 and 3 years from now when we're ready. They can jeopardize the future now." I think there's a balance that you don't want to get yourself tied up in these massive free agency contracts for declining players that aren't the players that they used to be, 100%. But you're going to need to spend some money now. Like, this team has far too many holes to just be filled in the draft and, you know, on the free agent open market. You know, you're going to have to spend some money. The Titans have money to spend, but it's a balance of doing what you can to be good this year and to be competitive this year and also next year and the following year and the following year, building up this team from the ground up. You don't need to go out and spend, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars on 12 free agent players to go for it in 2024. I think that's silly, but I think you can afford to be picky and choosy, spend your money the right way as long as you trust your drafting.
I'm trying to think back. I think it was 2005 or 2006. The Titans from 2003, which was Derek's last year, D-Mace, Frank Wycheck, Kevin Carter, Eddie George. It was all their last year playing for the Titans. And it was the last year in the window of the Super Bowl team and the really good Steve McNair team. Steve McNair was the MVP in 2003. 2004, they tried to run it back, and it flopped in the middle of the season. Steve McNair got hurt. A number of other guys got hurt, and that was it. It was just they had to make some tough decisions. And then the salary cap was catching up to them, and so Floyd Reese blew it up. And then in, you know, the 05, they had just a bad team. They just weren't very good at all. It was a full rebuild, and they had no choice. But what Floyd Reese did was, in that mix, he didn't fix it overnight, but he laid the groundwork and he made some smart moves. He didn't overspend. They kind of had to sort of pay the credit card bill because it was more of a boom and bust approach back then. But he got guys like Chris Hope and David Thornton and Kyle Vandenbosch, and there's a couple others that I'm forgetting. But he made some smart moves that didn't fix the team overnight. Mm-hmm. But those guys became good veterans around young players, kind of like a Ryan O'Reilly, Gus Nyquist kind of thing that you're seeing today. And then in 2007 and 2008, they became a really good team again. So I think that's what I think you keep in mind, that you can't fix everything overnight. The salary cap space, just because you have it, it doesn't mean you have to throw all of the money out there just to say you spent it. But you have the ability to go get the guys you want. But I think that's different than saying, let's use all of it. Let's use all of it. Let's spend everything. Overpay on a guy that's really not that good. That's not what you want to do.
Yeah, that's just – the Titans have been doing too much of that. You know, you're overpaying a left tackle that's not even a starting left tackle in the NFL.
Right. And they didn't even pay that much for
wisely.
Him. But I think if there is a guy out there
– $15 for spending too much on Andre Dillard.
Yes. That was a total debacle there. But yeah. Now you really have resources to go get the guy you want. If there's a guy out there, you got to go get that guy.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Interested to get Jonathan Hutton's thoughts on this. He will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts and his takeaways. What we've heard about Rancarthon and Mike Vrabel. What Mike Vrabel said in his press conference. We'll chat with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game.